Hey, South Bay, how's it going? You guys feel good today? All right. Well, I want you to be talking with me a little bit, interacting. We're going to have some fun. So here we go. You ready? All right. What is week three of It's Complicated? And today we are tackling the idea of extending ridiculous grace and forgiveness in our relationships. And during this series, we've been coming into this with a couple ideas. One, that we all have relationships. I mean, every single one of us has some kind of a relationship. But one of the things that we could all agree on, I'm sure if we went around, is that relationships can be complicated. Because there's so many different facets in a relationship. And one of the things that makes relationships complicated is the fact that they bring hurt with them. You ever notice that? I mean, I can look back at my life ever since I was a little kid, and I can see relationships where there was some kind of hurt. You know, you got in a fight with the kids in the playground, and that kind of hurt. You had run-ins with your parents, and that hurt. You went through middle school, at least most of us. You guys tracking with that? Like, I mean, maybe you had a great middle school experience. And then dating? Wow. If you have ever dated anybody, you know that relationships can bring hurt. Now, if you're in a relationship and you just start dating somebody and it's like you're like day two, things probably feel great. Spoiler alert, sorry, you're probably going to get hurt at some point in that relationship. You know, and another thing, too, you know, like I recently got hurt this week by one of our staff at a paintball day. I got shot right in the neck. So, no, it's not a hickey. It's a neck wound. Okay? Just wanted to clarify. It's already gone viral on Twitter because I didn't classify that. So, anyways, it's a neck wound. Okay? So, but, you know, you get hurt in your relationship. I'm sure that you can look in your life. You can go back to when you were a kid and look to even this past week, and you can see times in your life where you got hurt in a relationship that you were in. Maybe some of you are thinking about the argument that you had this morning with your spouse or your friend on the way here, and you're sitting right now thinking, I hope they're listening to this. So don't throw any elbows. Let's just be adults here, be mature. But, you know, you're thinking about this. And in our lives, like, hurt is just part of what is going to occur. And now when we look about it, like, I think about this. Like hurt in our relationships can kind of be like a weight. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you feel it in your relationship. It's like you pick up this weight, and you start to carry this. And now some of these weights, because some of these hurts, they're a little bit lighter of a weight. You know, they may not feel quite as heavy. It's the argument that you had. It's the comment that somebody said. You felt misunderstood or something like this. And it hurt, but it's not like weighing you down too bad. But you still feel it's there. But sometimes we get hurt by people in relationships, and it's a heavy, heavy weight. It's one that we feel, that we drag into everything in our lives. We drag into all of our relationships. Maybe some of you feel that weight right now. You feel like you've got this hurt that's holding you down. Maybe it was hurt from a mom or a dad where you felt like you didn't measure up. Maybe it was hurt from a mom or a dad who left you. Maybe it's hurt from a spouse who lied to you, had an affair, divorce. Maybe it's hurt from a friend or coworker who went behind your back. Maybe for some of you students in middle school and high school, it's feeling hurt by some of your classmates that may be bullying you. No doubt in a room this big, when I look across here, some of you have probably been abused at some point in some way, whether it's emotionally, physically, or mentally. And these weights hold and hang on to us, and we drag them around. And whenever we approach a topic like this, I know that we approach it and we view this topic of forgiveness through our filter of hurt. That we are looking at this idea of forgiveness through the hurts that have happened in our past, through the things that have happened in our life, and we look at it through that filter. And I know for some of you who are carrying the real heavy hurts, the real big things, that probably for some of you, as soon as you heard the topic for today on extending ridiculous grace and forgiveness, you felt your walls starting to come up. Because you know what happens a lot of times for us whenever we get hurt? It's like a self-protective measure that we want to start to wall up because we're trying to go into the place where we can protect ourselves. And I want to ask you, if that's you and you feel the walls come up, just to hang with me for just a little bit here. Just to hang with me and keep with me. I mean, just keep the wall down just a little bit. Because I think this topic that we're going to talk about today could really help in the healing process. And maybe today you're going to hear something just a little bit different that might help you. Because, you know, the Bible talks a ton about relationships. In fact, there's tons of verses, tons of passages about it. And even on this topic of forgiving others. And you know what? Over 2,000 years ago, this was a felt need in society. Because we even see in the passage we're going to look at today where Jesus gets asked about this idea of forgiving others. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at a passage of scripture there. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to have the scripture up on the screen. We're going to have it on your YouVersion Bible app that Felipe talked about, and you can follow along there. But Matthew was a book or a letter written by, you get any guesses? I mean, Matthew, right? Like he wrote it. He's one of the disciples of Jesus. He's one of these guys who was there with Jesus, seeing him teach, seeing him do ministry, seeing him do miracles. Matthew saw Jesus go to the cross and die. He saw him alive after he resurrected from the dead. I mean, Matthew saw all these things and writes this account of Jesus' life so that we can have a record of it, so that we can know more about Jesus. And in this conversation, we find a conversation that happens between Peter and Jesus, one of the other disciples. And Peter comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. And he says this. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" And he tags on this question, up to seven times? Now just think about this for a second. Peter is approaching Jesus with this question a lot of times the way that we approach Jesus, right? Like we want to know, Jesus, give me the checklist. I want to know I'm good. I want to check off the boxes. I want to know I did enough of that, enough of this, and I feel good. And this is the way he's approaching him. I mean, he's like, should I forgive somebody seven times? I mean, that's once for every day of the week, and then they're done. I'm writing them off, shun, they're gone. You know, like at what point can I write somebody off? And here's the way I want to see how Jesus responds, because it's almost kind of sarcastic in the beginning when he responds back here. He starts off in verse 22. And it says, Jesus said, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Now, some translations might even say 70 times seven. And here's the idea that Jesus is saying, it's not about the number. It's kind of a sarcastic response. You ever have somebody tell you like, man, they did that like 10 times. You're like, no, it's more like 100. Like, it doesn't matter about the number. You know, like you're kind of sarcastic. And Jesus goes on then to further explain this with a parable. And a parable is nothing more than a story that helps illustrate a spiritual truth so that we can see it real in our lives. And this is where we pick up in verse 23. Jesus goes on to say this. He says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." So check this out. Jesus is saying, look, let me tell you this story here. The kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, is kind of like this. So it's like a king who goes out, gets his CFO, his financial planners, his accountants all together, and he says, hey, who owes us money? Let's go start collecting. Cool, we got this guy, bring him in. The guy comes in and he owes 10,000 bags of gold. If you want to go back into the Greek, it would actually be referred to as a talent. And a talent was the equivalent of a 20 years worth of wages for a day laborer. That's a lot of money. This is 200,000 years of wages for a day laborer that he owes the king. That's a pretty big debt. I mean, Dave Ramsey would not be happy at all about that amount of debt, you know? And so here he is. He owes this amount of debt and he comes and he can't pay it. So the king looks at him and says, fine, this is what we're going to do. You can't pay it? Here we go. I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell your wife. I'm going to sell your mom, your dog, your cat. I'm going to sell your kids, everything, your Xbox, your car. We're selling it all. Now, here's the thing about this. The king may get a little bit of revenge, payback, something like that, but he's never going to recoup all of his losses. I mean, the family just isn't worth that much, equivalent to the debt. And so look what happens. It says in verse 26 that at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. I mean, if you're in the servant's place, I mean, what else do you do? You got no other option. But look at this. It says in verse 27, it says, the servant's master, so this king, took pity on him. And it says that he canceled the debt and let him go. I mean, think about this. The king looked at this guy. He didn't just say, hey, man, I'll give you another year. I'll give you 10 more years. Let's work on a mortgage plan on this. Hey, I tell you what, I'll cut it in half. He didn't do any of that. He looked at him and he said, canceled, free to go. Have a good day. Now think about this. I mean, if you're the servant, and you're like this, you're going to kind of be like, I'm sorry. Can we get that in writing? Lawyer, come here. Can you tweet that so the whole world knows what you just said? Because I want to make sure that this is legit. You know, like, you want to know that. I mean, you can imagine, feel like the weight of this just come off of this servant. That it's gone now. I mean, like, you'd be walking around just wanting to give everybody a hug. You know, hey, buddy, I don't even like you, but I feel so good today. You know, like, it would just be a total just change of emotions. But look what happens. This servant goes out, and it says in verse 28, he went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Now, 100 silver coins, a coin or a denarius, as the Greek would say, would be equivalent to a day's wage for a laborer. So this is a 100 days' wages for a day laborer. I mean, that's a pretty big debt. It's not 200,000 years, but it's still a pretty big debt. And he goes out and he finds this guy right after he'd been forgiven. And look how he responds. It says this. It says that he grabbed him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. And it says this in verse 29, that his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I'll pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. So think about this. It's like the flip of what just happened. Now, after he's had this huge debt canceled, he goes out to find one of his fellow servants who still has a big debt, but it's nothing in comparison. And instead of saying, "Hey, man, I just had the biggest debt ever wiped away, and so you know what? Man, we're good. Don't worry about it." He goes out and he grabs him, he chokes him, he beats him, he says, "Man, give me my money." Now, all the other servants, the ones who are sitting on the outside, are watching this happen. And you can imagine, I mean, you've probably heard comments like this from people outside the church or when you read the newspaper that say, "Look at that. What kind of a hypocrite is that? Like, he just had this big debt canceled, and now he won't do it." And so they go back, they get mad, they go back and tell the king about this. And look what happens. It says, "Then the master called the servant in, and he said, 'You wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' And it says, 'In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed.'" See, here was the servant, once set free, now back in captivity. He was free, now he's captive. And Jesus comes in and he summarizes this whole story with a very, very strong statement. You know, Jesus said some strong stuff like this that sometimes is hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to apply, to try and filter through it in our brains. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." I mean, you just feel the weight of what he just said. I know for some of you right now, as you sit here and you look at this passage and you look at this through the filter of your hurt, that when you look at it, your immediate things are, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they took. You don't know how bad it hurt. And it's almost like when we see this and we live this out and we think through it in our brains, it's like that intense movie. You know, where you got to hit the pause or you just want to turn away because it's just that real, that intense. And that's how real this gets when those emotions start to flare up. But I just want us to think about this for just a second because God is making a really big deal about our forgiving others. In fact, in this story, Jesus is portraying the king or God as the king and us as the first servant. And this is the thing, if we just think about this, that God, when we read throughout scriptures, we see that he would send Jesus, his one and only son, to step out of heaven, to live a perfect life, to die on a cross for our sin, for the debt that is between us and God. And that God would say, if you would just put your faith and trust in Jesus, my son, and what he did on the cross, and just come follow him, then you know what? I'm going to cancel your debt. It's gone. You're forgiven. You're free to go. And this is the thing that God says. God says, look, I am willing and have forgiven you so much. And as a result, I expect you to be willing to forgive others. Now, let's just think about this. Like, why is this such a big deal to God? Why is it such a big deal that we would go out and forgive others? And this is something that, as I think about this, this is just the thought that hits me. Is that when we are willing to forgive others, when we are willing to forgive others, we put on display God's love and forgiveness toward us. That we are displaying God's love and God's forgiveness to the person who hurt us and to all that are around us in the way that we are willing to forgive. I mean, think about this. How many times do you hear people say, I don't want to follow Jesus because I knew people who claimed to follow him? This is where the rubber meets the road and where it gets real and where by our life we give somebody something tangible to see God in the way that we begin to process through this, in the way that we would be willing to forgive. And I know that this is hard, and understanding forgiving others can be hard, and we've got to look through the lens of God's forgiveness toward us in order to better understand how it is that we forgive somebody else. And when we look through the lens of God's forgiveness towards us, this is something that I think that we begin to see, is that forgiveness brings freedom. That forgiveness brings freedom. When you look in this passage, and when the king gave forgiveness to the servant, the king was free. He was no longer carrying the load or the weight of, like, you owe me all this money. Like, man, it's done. We're moving on. The servant was free to go because he experienced forgiveness. When we put our faith in Jesus and trust him, God looks at us and says, man, canceled, free to go. You're free. And when we are willing to go through the process of forgiving someone else for the hurts that they've inflicted on us, we experience freedom. And this is why the Apostle Paul would later come back and say in Ephesians, he would say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I know sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, that this idea, like, there's so many thoughts going on in our minds about what forgiveness is, what it is not. And so in your program, there's a handout. It says 10 things forgiveness is not. We wanted to give this to you as a resource and as a tool. And there's a link at the bottom you can follow to be able to get more information on this. But I want to just go through this list. I don't have a lot of time to just dwell on each of these. But I want to go through this so that we are beginning to shape our minds around what forgiveness is. And so here you go. 10 things forgiveness is not. First, forgiveness is not approving or diminishing sin. 2, forgiveness is not enabling sin. Forgiveness is not denying a wrongdoing. Just because you forgive doesn't mean you can't still say what they did was wrong. Forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. We're not waiting for somebody to come to us, but we forgive even before they come. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is not ceasing to feel the pain. Forgiveness is not a one-time event. People will continue to hurt us, and we have to continue to forgive. Forgiveness is not neglecting justice. Forgiveness is not trusting. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. And when I think about this, like, maybe for us, a working definition of what forgiveness is could be this: that forgiveness is canceling the debt owed to us by the person that hurt us. That forgiveness is canceling the debt owed to us by the person who hurt us. And so when we talk about this and we think about this, I know it gets down to this point, like, great, even if, like, through our filter of hurt, we're seeing this and go, okay, I can halfway understand why I need to forgive because God says I should and he's forgiven me. Okay, I kind of get that. I'm looking at it through this filter, but how do I do it? How do I start? And for the rest of our time today, I want us to get as practical as we can on, like, what this process might look like. And I want you to know this is a process. Depending on how heavy the weight is and how big the hurt is that you're carrying, this process takes some time. And so in your program, you can take down notes, and we're going to talk through a guide to extending grace and forgiveness. And if you want to read more on this, I recommend Andy Stanley's Enemies of the Heart. It's a great book that helps unpack some more of this. But here we go. First step in extending grace and forgiveness is to identify who hurt you. Identify who hurt you. You see, in this passage that we just read, the king identified the servant that had the debt. He knew his name. The servant knew the name of the other servant who had taken 100 silver coins from him. They identified who owed them money. And the first step for us in beginning to extend forgiveness, beginning to work through these hurts, is that we identify who hurt us. Was it a mom or a dad? Was it a brother, sister, a friend, a coworker, a classmate, a teammate? Who was it that hurt you? Write the name down. Maybe you've got one, maybe you've got a few, but write them down. Because the only way that we begin this process is by being specific on who we need to forgive. The second step is that we name what they owe you. Name what they owe you. Now, this step is often skipped. And this is one that's hard. This is one that's a hard process. It brings up a lot of emotion. It's not fun, but it's so important. Because you see, you know what that person did to you. But the question is, what did they take from you? You know what they did, but what did they take? And this is the part where we start to think through, what do they owe? See, the king knew that the first servant owed him 10,000 bags of gold. The second servant knew that the servant owed him 100 silver coins. I mean, they knew what was owed to them. And the reason that this step is so important is because we often give general forgiveness. We'll be like, man, I forgive my mom or my dad for all this stuff. I forgive my brother. I forgive my friend. I forgive all these people. They're like, well, just general forgiveness. But the thing is that general forgiveness doesn't heal specific hurts. That general forgiveness doesn't heal specific hurts. So when you think through the people that are on that list, what did they take? What do they owe? What would they have to do to restore everything back to the way it was before they hurt you? Maybe it's an apology. You know, it's like those small little run-ins that you have with your spouse or a friend. And if they would just apologize, man, we could like start to move on. Maybe it's money. You loaned out money to somebody and they didn't pay you back. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe for some of you whose mom and dad left when you were a kid, that's what they owe you, a mom or a dad. Maybe for some of you it was your purity that was taken, your reputation, a chapter of your life. See why this gets heavy. But we've got to begin to wrestle through this so we can get specific. Because it's only when we get specific that we can give specific forgiveness so that we can have healing for those hurts. And after we identify who hurt us, we name what they owe, name what they took. And then the third step, and this is one that is really hard. This is one that for you, you may be able to get through the first two, and then this one's even harder for you. It's where we cancel the debt. Cancel the debt. This is one where we begin to forgive. Where we don't seek revenge. We don't seek to get payback. But we come in just like that king came in and looked into that servant's eyes and we cancel the debt. Just like God looks at us. When we put our faith in Jesus, he looks into our eyes and he says, your debt, your sin is canceled. And this step can be so hard for us. So maybe for you, some practical ways that you might need to go about starting the process of canceling this debt. Maybe it needs to start with a prayer. With a prayer that goes something like this. To say, Heavenly Father, so-and-so has taken this from me. I have held on to this debt long enough. I choose to cancel this debt. So-and-so doesn't owe me anymore. Just as you forgave me, I forgive so-and-so. Maybe this is where this process needs to start in your heart. It's by starting this prayer. Maybe for you, what it looks like to cancel the debt is to have a conversation with the person who hurt you. If it's an appropriate time, I mean, maybe if it's a person that was abusive or they won't listen, or maybe they even passed away, like you don't have to have a conversation with somebody. But maybe you feel it's your spouse or a close friend, and you feel like for me to begin to cancel this debt, I need to have a conversation with them about it. But now, let me just say this. We don't have the conversation for the reverse apology. You guys know what I'm talking about? You come to somebody and you're like, hey, man, what you did really stinks, really hurt me, and I'm going to keep laying it on until you say you're sorry. Like, that's not what we're doing with this. We're coming with somebody to come and just forgive them, to cancel the debt so that we can move on. Because forgiveness is a matter of our heart between us and God. But maybe for some of you, when you look in your life, this weight is so heavy that for you, maybe one of the steps in canceling this debt is that you need to do something symbolic. Maybe you need to get an empty chair and you need to sit in front of it and look at it just pretend like you're looking into the eyes of the person who hurt you. You need to tell them what they did, tell them what they took, and you need to go through the whole list and tell them to everyone, this is what you did, this is what you took, I forgive you. This is what you did, this is what you took, I forgive you. And we need to go through that and begin to cancel the debt. Maybe for some of you, it might look like the same kind of process, writing it out on a letter and then going and burning it as a symbolic way of saying, this debt that was owed to me by somebody else is canceled. They are forgiven. It is done. And we begin to cancel the debt. Now, if we're going to go on with this, there's one more step that I think often people don't think about. And this is once we have identified the person, we've named what they owe, we've gone through the process of canceling the debt, this last step is so important, and it's where we dismiss the case. Where we dismiss the case. And this is the part where we begin to move on. See, the king canceled the debt, and he moved on. God cancels our sin and forgives us through Jesus, and he moves on. We're free. And in this part, this is the thing that we know, is that we all have emotions, we all have feelings, and those feelings and emotions can be triggered by certain things that might happen. And even after we've come and canceled the debt, our emotions from that hurt, our feelings from that hurt can be re-engaged, they can flare back up. And where dismissing the case comes in is so important because our feelings and our emotions aren't a good indicator of whether or not we've forgiven somebody or not. But when we dismiss the case, is when those emotions and those feelings come back up that we're able to face them, not stuff them or run from them, but face them and say, you know what? I have canceled the debt with God's strength, with his grace. I'm so thankful to him. I've been able to cancel this. We are moving on, and we dismiss the case. And this is a process for us. Identifying who hurt you, naming what they owe, beginning to cancel the debt and dismissing the case. This is a process. And maybe for you and your relationships, I mean, this might be something you can use in the day in, day out, and it might just take a couple minutes to think through maybe an argument with your spouse, where you can be like, this is what they did, this is what they owe, I'm canceling that, man, we're just going to move on. Like, it can be very quick. But for some of you with heavy hurts, with the heavy weight, this process of going through this might even take months, it might even take years. And I don't want you to be discouraged by that. But I want you to be encouraged to never quit, to persevere, because forgiveness brings freedom. Because forgiveness brings freedom. My wife and I got to watch this process unfold in the life of her mom, my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law, in her 50s, went through a 5-year process of forgiving her dad for some of the hurt and some of the pain that was inflicted on her. When I talked to her, she described her dad as being somebody who was angry, would explode. You never knew who you were going to get, my way or the highway. Just very tough. She said it was finally in her 50s that she was processing through all this. She was able to sit back and go, you know what? What my dad did was emotional abuse. She was finally able to name it, to be like, it was emotional abuse on us as a kid. And she told me, she said, when she got married, she and my father-in-law moved to Florida. Her parents were in Texas, and she just tried to kind of move on with this. Just tried to forget about it. I'm just going to kind of move on with my life. And then as her parents got older, they actually had to move them from Texas to Florida to be able to take care of them. And she told me, she said, when they moved there, it was like everything came back. All the emotions, all the anger, all the fury, all the hurt, all the pain. Like it just all came back. And it all boiled out to the surface. And she told me, she said, in that and all this anger and all this rage, as I was going through this, I was in a small group Bible study, much like our life groups here at South Bay. She's with a group of ladies going through this Bible study, and she said, in that Bible study, God began to work in her heart. God began to work in her heart to say, you know what, I have forgiven you so much, and I want you to forgive your dad. And she said she just wrestled with that. Wrestled with that idea, because, you know, you don't want to. You're so angry. But she said this, and she told me, she said, I got to the point where I said, if I am going to call myself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, she said, I have to do this. I have to do it. And when she described going through this process, she said, it hurt, it was hard, there were tears, there were long walks, there was anger, there was venting, there was frustrations, everything along this process. She said, it was like digging bitter roots that had gone all the way down into my spirit, all the way down into who I was. It was like digging these roots out, pulling out the pain. And every time you pulled out a root, you had to face the pain from that. She said, it's like pulling these things out. And, you know, I asked her, because it's been about 5 years, and she's on the back end of this process, said, let me ask you. I said, how do you feel now? After having gone through this process, after having worked to forgive your dad, you know what she said? She paused and then she said, I feel clean. I feel clean. It's like all the hurt, all the pain, everything is gone. I feel clean. I feel free. And I want you just to think about your life for a second. I want you to think about your relationships. Think about the hurt that you're carrying right now as you walked into the building today. Think about what would it look like in your life to feel clean? What would it feel like just to be able to go, this weight is off. I feel clean. I feel free. My relationship is better. What would it feel like? And this is why it's so important that we forgive, because we've been forgiven so much by God. And when we forgive others, that forgiveness brings freedom. It's like coming in and cleaning everything out. And I just want you to think about your lives. Just imagine, just think, where are you at? Some of you right now, I no doubt you're coming in here and you just are struggling with the things that you've done. You're asking the question, how can I even forgive myself, let alone forgive somebody else? And this is the beauty of what God is saying to you today, is he's saying, look, I already sent my son to die for you, so that you could have your debt canceled, you could have your sin canceled, and I want to give you a new identity, a new way to see yourself through what my son has done for you. Maybe that's where you need to start in this process. And can you just imagine how much different your life could be? Just with the guilt that you've been carrying gone? Free? Clean? Just imagine your relationships. Just think about how much better your relationships could be, how much better you could feel in them as you begin to walk through this process of forgiveness. Think about the weight that could be gone. Think about the health that could come into your marriage. Think about the health that could come into your friendships. Parents and people who hope to have kids, let me just say something to you for just a second. I want you to think about your kids. I want you to even think long-term. Think about your grandkids. Because by you being willing to embrace the process of forgiving others, you can experience and model forgiveness in your life and in your home. And for your kids and your grandkids, they can be free to have a different future that you didn't have. They can be free to have a future without the pain and the baggage that you're carrying, because they learned how to deal with this. Because you were a pivotal parent who changed direction for your kids and for your grandkids. Just think about it. Just think about this when we think about people even outside of our church, people who don't follow Jesus or don't quite yet believe this. How much of an example of God's love and forgiveness is it to them when we begin to display and give forgiveness towards others? Just think about it. And I know that this is such a heavy, heavy topic for so many of us. And we're going to have the band come back out, and we're going to have a time for a song, just a song for reflection. And I want to invite you and encourage you just to let this message sink in. For some of you, as you're looking through the filter, just to let it kind of come in a little bit, to just begin to think about it, to be open to the process, to be open to this process of letting God work in your life so that you can give forgiveness towards others. And we forgive because we've been forgiven. And we know that forgiveness brings freedom. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for the forgiveness that you give us, for the grace, for the mercy. And God, right now, I just ask that you would help us here in this place right now, for every single person, no matter what they're wrestling with, to have the grace and have the strength to be able to work and begin the process of forgiving others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reached out.
Help us as we walk out of here. That you'll help us as we go out to have a different perspective on how to deal with the hurts that are in our lives and in our relationships. That God, you would give us some extra grace and extra strength this week as we start these next steps. And God, I pray for so many that this might be the first step in being free from years of hurt, pain, anger, and bitterness. God, I pray that this message just sinks in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.